No, bueno.
Ahora te
Good evening. This is a regular board meeting of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today's date is September 27, 2016. The time is 6:03.
Item B, roll call. Ms. Fritzy.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Mr. Medina is running late.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Ms. Searles will not be in attendance today.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
C, Pledge of Allegiance.
First row of kids, please come up. So you can lead us in the pledge. First row. Come here, little Rodriguez.
One, two, it's okay.
Ready?
No, that's right.
That's all right. Lead us in the pledge. Ready? On three. One, two, three.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez and Ms. Quintana, can you please read our mission and vision? Your choice.
Is this the same one?
Vision statements. Canutillo ISD is a premier school district with nationally ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and in God.
Mission statement. Canutillo Independent School District's purpose is to provide high quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and productive citizens.
Thank you, ladies.
Item number two, board honors. A, recognition of St. Francis on the Hill Episcopal Church and Mr. and Mrs. Sanders for their generous donation of school supplies and clothing at the Give 'Em a Boost outreach event. Mr. Rodriguez.
St. Francis on the Hill began an outreach program to fund the entire fourth grade at Deanna Davenport Elementary on a $70 shopping spree for school items. This year, through generous giving, they were able to expand their outreach to all fourth and fifth grade students, a community service project partnership between Canutillo ISD, St. Francis on the Hill, and Walmart provided the shopping spree for new school clothing and school supplies. Can I ask Mr. AC and Mary Sanders to step up?
Yeah.
graduation of the Canutillo Middle School Honor Band for winning the first place gold award at the prestigious Earl Stride Heritage Music Festival in Anaheim, California.
Our fine arts program is thriving here at Canutillo ISD. On May 28th, the Canutillo Middle School Honor Band and Jose Damian Elementary Chamber Choir each won first place gold award at the prestigious Earl Stride Heritage Music Festival in Anaheim, California. Mr. Rodriguez was also awarded Outstanding Music Educator. The group of 45 CMS band members was also honored with the Spirit of Anaheim Award given to one group among elementary and secondary band, choir, jazz bands, and orchestras whose conduct demonstrates professionalism, concert etiquette, best attire, and school pride. Can I ask Mr. Rodriguez and his band to come forward?
Thank you.
Damian Elementary Chamber Choir for winning the first place gold award at the prestigious World Stride Heritage Music Festival in Anaheim, California.
The elite Jose Damian Elementary Chamber Choir, directed by Lucio Rodriguez, wife of CMS director Christian Rodriguez, also won first place gold award for the second time at the festival in Anaheim. In five seasons, the JDE Choir has won many awards and special recognitions, such as being recognized by State Representative Joseph Moody in 2013. Can I ask Ms. Rodriguez and the choir to step forward?
National Merit Semifinalist.
National Merit Scholarship Program this year. Senior Samantha Isis was selected based on her performance on the PSAT and has a chance to be named a finalist in the spring of 2017, putting her in the running for several scholarships. Can you step forward, Samantha?
Introduced us assistance to people who are found, help fund Naleo. Let's see, session three was opportunities that were new for English language learners. Session four was what kind of tools that we can use in our district as far as data to be able to interpret what kind of students and what populations we need to address if we have more English language learners, and how we can help them become successful students. A few things that I brought back from the sessions were making sure that our school calendars are made way ahead of time so that our parents are aware of what's happening, and then also the community. One of the things that I brought back talking to other board members and policymakers was installing something calling the National Night Out, which our district will be participating in during homecoming week, which is Tuesday, I believe, the 18th. And I thought this was really neat because it brought up a lot of our community members together and the school district, and it's really important that our community knows what services are available throughout our community. Also making sure that we have parent centers at each campus. We learned quite a bit of different resources that are available for English language learners, and where to look for answers for the new ESSA federal laws coming in. Did you have anything, Mr. Lopez?
Just real quick, if y'all weren't aware, and especially some of the community members, this was actually a grant that we applied, and three of us were from Canutio, so they paid the actual hotel and airfare. And so the other thing that we also had there was three of us, it was also people from Fabens and San Alley, as well as people from around the state and around the country. One of the things that we also talked about, and which we were talking about in the last planning session that we had, was to create a data quality campaign and some of the stuff that they gave us. So there's a lot of more information here. And then talking about the other thing that we also learned was, I believe it's the I guess being more transparent with the community and having our report cards, as well as there, I believe Chicago is well recognized for the state in comparison to Texas, and being more user friendly in regards to that. So that might be something that we want to look at. The other, so there was engaging the state legislators lessons for the education sector, and that was from the Aspen Institute. They were also in attendance. There was a lot more information, but I was hoping that we could put this, we'll probably put it in one of the packets so that way y'all could actually look into it. So there was the state report cards.
Yeah, they actually helped us learn how to dissect the state report card and what it means, and to make sure that it's our state report card is available online to the public, and it's easy for the community to read, because a lot of, we went into some of the different report cards from different districts, and they're very hard for parents to read, so we need to be a little more user-friendly. So that's something that we'll definitely be looking towards, making it more user-friendly so parents can go in there and read it, and community members as well.
And one of the things is, one of the packets, and it's pretty intense, it talks about let's get the conversation started. Strategy, tools, examples, and resources to help states engage with stakeholders to develop and implement their ESSAs. And one of the biggest conversation, and that's something that I know that the Senator Rodriguez had sent out a letter to us so that way we could be engaged, was how do we make sure at this level, because it's pretty much sent off to local control, and the states are really are the ones that are going to develop that. So we need to make sure that any hearings or anything that we can make sure that we're well engaged and our input is given as well. So that's it for this one.
For the record, Mr. Medina, record 626. Item D, report regarding the 2016 TASA-TASB convention and 2016 delegate assembly.
So going towards the delegate assembly, and it's probably better to speak up from here since there's a lot of paperwork. The delegate assembly actually approved the, there we go. So they approved any resolutions recommended for adoption from the local school districts, but one of the more important things is that they approved the overall cornerstone principles, and I'm trying to find that. They approved the cornerstone principles and any changes that local entities, as well as any bylaw changes, and of course, our advocacy agenda for the state. Some of the other stuff at the convention, Mike Morath was one of the speakers, and he talked about TEA priorities for the new school year. There was also several other speakers. And the last one talked about education tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it. Of course, there were state meetings that I attended, and that pretty much developed the overall legislative agenda and where we're at. The other thing that I did want to mention, which the new Deputy Commissioner of Governance is one of the, we had a conversation there and talking about how we could provide opportunities for board members to understand whether it's ethics, whether it's campaign finance laws and stuff like that, so that way all board members could be held accountable through the proper authorities. So there was a lot of good conversation, and that is it. Did you want to add anything?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Item number 5, Consent Agenda. Administration recommends approval as presented.
Are there any items that need to get pulled from here? Board? No.
I so move to approve the Consent second. Agenda as present.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item, Sonia.
Item number 6, new business. Discussion of possible recommendation regarding future property development within CISD. Mr. Vasquez?
At the request of the board, I went ahead and looked for the additional information that we discussed during the special meeting we had some time ago. The document that I presented to you this evening includes the location of the two proposed sites and also the location of the old landfill site, which was one of the points of concern that the board expressed. As you can see, from both of the proposed sites that are currently available, we don't have the problem of running into the area that used to be the old landfill. So regarding that, it's our recommendation to continue with the recommendation of having either one of the two options available for us. The other concern was the sizes available. I went ahead and was able to determine from the information provided by the developers that one of the sites is about 18 acres. The other one is about 25 acres. So that further enhances my recommendation of using the one that's 25 acres, which is the one that's located on the intersection of the two proposed roads. The other point of concern was the topography. Ms. Searles and I went ahead and visited the site last week, and I did an analysis of the difference between this site, either one of these, and the one that we had at Reyes Elementary. One of the problems with the Reyes Elementary site was that the topography was very much, it required a lot of retention walls, ramps, and terraces. The difference with either one of these sites is that the slope is very gentle, even though there's some topography that has to be dealt with on the second site. By looking at the drawings and also by visiting the site itself, we noticed that it's a very gentle slope. It's not quite the situation that you all had when you were developing the Reyes site. So, given these considerations, my recommendation is still to have the selection for the site, the available site that I labeled number one on this map here, and which is the one that I presented to you all at the special board meeting.
Are there any questions?
Yes. This wasn't the only landfill that was in existence. There was actually another one between that one. There's no records of any other landfill?
I consulted with the county of El Paso. I visited with them and I explained the situation. I brought the drawings that we had and the development progress drawings that we have available.
Mm-hmm.
That landfill was the closest one that they could locate for us regarding the location of these two sites.
Okay.
So yes, he did mention that there was another one, but it was further north.
Any other questions?
Yes, as far as the topography, you're talking slow, gentle hills there. That main road, what's that road? Is that going to be a main arterial?
Yes, it is. It's actually going to connect directly to the
Northwestern
Trump Mountain Road.
It's the continuation Northwestern, is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
That's the only question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Medina. Any other questions from anyone else?
I do have a couple of questions. I guess one of the major concerns, what type of score are we looking at building? And what is a build out looking in that?
If we select the site that allows us the 25 acres, we can do an elementary school, we can do a pre-K through 8, or we could do a middle school. The middle school might be a little tight, but we could work on it.
Do we know what the build-out is looking around in that area that, in regards to, I guess, the overall demographics of our district?
We know that the development is the density of the new housing developments is happening right there, right now.
And have we looked at, in regards to some of the smart growth, smart code type of building, would we need that amount of acreage, or could we minimize that into a smaller?
I have not, but from previous experience, I can tell you that the city will ask us to look into designing with using the smart code and minimizing parking areas, for example, things like that.
That's it for right now. I think I have a couple more, but if any of the board members would like to ask them.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I still have a concern with the big arroyo running through it. You know.
Okay.
It's almost like right smack in the middle.
Right.
And it forks off.
There are two topographical features that do indeed cross our site. one of the reasons that I feel comfortable making this recommendation to the board is that through that schematic analysis that I was able to make about the site, I think we have enough material within the site to balance the site. That means cutting in some areas and filling the rest of the areas. Now, of course, it's going to take some work to do, but the alternative would be to choose a smaller site, which we might be able to increase. However, because of the layout of the development, you can see that on the documentation that we provided to you all before, you can see that it's a very irregular shape. So right off the bat, not only are you starting with a smaller site, but you're also starting with a site that has, you know, very difficult features to align, you know, straight walls and be able to make more very efficient use of the site.
But if we were to have a rain like 2006, say it's not going to happen again for another 100 years, but say it does happen again.
Well, and that's, yes, of course, that is of course a concern, and you know, a 100-year flood can happen next week.
No, we can't predict it. Only God can.
Exactly, but one of the greatest advantages that we have is that we have ponding areas around the site, outside of our site, in addition to the ponding areas that we would need to have to protect our building.
And we've heard that before too. There's ponding areas, and then we still have the severe flooding.
Right, and of course, that is always a point of concern.
That to me is a very big concern, and only because I've water. Doesn't discriminate. It just
water moves as it has to move. Totally agree.
The arroyo is the roadway, God's roadway.
Okay, well, so let me just make a point of clarification. The arroyo, it's outside of the site. The actual arroyo is outside of the site. There are two smaller arroyos. They are coming down, but these
you know,
ones can be
small to me.
These ones, well, again, we visited the site. We noted that as the information that we have available as of today, it's not a big point of concern because I know the engineering is available for us to fix that. Again, you're not going to end up with a problem like you had with Reyes, and that it wasn't only the flow of the water, but it was actually the site levels. That's why we have a terraced school, and that's expensive right off the bat. Regrading, it may be expensive, but it's not as expensive as having to deal with, you know, retention walls and terraces and all the long ramps that we have at Reyes.
It's still a concern to me.
Absolutely. No, I understand. And of course, you know, if in the future we get to the point of designing the school, it'll be my responsibility to ensure that we don't have these kinds of problems.
Go ahead, Mr. Mathew.
Are these the only plots that are made available by the developer at this time?
Yes.
At this time, they are, yes.
This time, there's nothing further north of that location?
Not that I'm aware of.
Pretty much stuck there, because what I understand, it's going to be a pretty heavily populated area. We're talking apartments, we're talking high density retail. just seems very high traffic, and I guess I'm concerned about that. We got extremely lucky with Reyes Elementary. It's a neighborhood school. You know, the streets are a lot smaller. But this one seems to be like we're putting it right in the middle of the highest traffic area, possibly in the next 10 to 15 years. And I'm just wondering if we could go back to the developer and ask, is there anything else that we can look at?
I'm not sure that that's a possibility right now. It is my understanding that as it is, they are moving forward with their plans, which they're entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have to make a decision now, is basically what we're going for.
Yes.
As soon as possible, Mr. Medina, when we met with the developers, they're pretty much developing all around these two areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now homes, they're going up. All these areas are for sale. So pretty much we need to give them something really quick or they'll just go ahead and start developing over these two properties as well.
Are we just selecting the site? We're not purchasing
anything. We are not purchasing
anything.
No purchase of any land at this time.
We're reserving the option of, in the future, buying this land at cost.
How far off, and if is there any penalty for pulling back?
No, there is not. There's no.
Okay.
There's no
thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Roskis. At this time, would you go ahead and select? Do you want to select a property? Would you like to vote on one and then two?
I'd actually move to take administration's recommendation of site number one.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Is there going to be like earnest money that we need to put in? The district has to to reserve the land?
No, ma'am.
No, because we're not at this moment. All they're simply asking us is which one would you like in case in the future you would like to put an elementary or middle school or whatever.
Have they provided you any money?
No, sir.
I haven't seen it.
Are we set at a certain price? Or are we just
no,
paying?
I have not seen any of that documentation. I guess once the board takes action on this item, we will go back to them and we'll.
Like I said, I'd be a little concerned. In fact, I pulled my motion only because we're reserving it, but we don't know the price.
You don't have any legal basis to reserve it. It's not a contract. Offer, you guys aren't buying it. It's my understanding they just want to know
which one
we would like.
I don't think anybody should be confused. Just because you say you want it doesn't mean they have to give it to you. There's going to be a price for sale, it'll be negotiated, and ultimately you'll end up deciding whether or not you're going to acquire it. But you're not doing that tonight.
We're just recommending.
Yes, which one you want.
Then I'll just go ahead and keep my motion out there. Take administration's recommendation for site number one. Plus or minus 25 acres.
I'll second.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
I'll abstain.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item B, discussion and recommendation regarding the emergency replacement at Panutio High School main gym a new dirt floor in accordance with CH legal and to proceed with payment issuance for insurance deductible. Total cost is $100,000. Mr. Vasquez and Mrs. Campbell.
As you may be aware, during the storm that we had the Sunday before school started, there was a flood in the Canopio High School new gym and the main gym. The water infiltrated through a couple of exterior doors and flooded underneath the layers of the wood that made up the floor of the two gyms. And after a few days, it started coupling the wood planks and making basically destroying the floors. We contacted the insurance company, and they went ahead and sent a representative. And the price for the deductible is $100,000. We went ahead and requested quotes from the manufacturer that is the contractor that installed the wood flooring on the auxiliary gym, and we have those quotes. However, of course, because of the insurance. Our cost is going to be $100,000. We are ready to, you know, move forward with this project because, of course, it's impeding, you know, the right now the volleyball season and pretty soon the basketball season also. And so this is an emergency situation that we're dealing with.
Any
Madam Chair, questions?
Go ahead, Mr. Medina.
So this was due to act of God. It was a flood, correct?
Correct.
Shouldn't our drainage at the site be being able to handle?
We looked into that. Of course, the project was engineered, signed and sealed by a civil engineer. We confirmed that the measurements of the trench are not quite exactly as per the drawings. I'm not sure that they are significantly enough that they would make a difference, because the watermark, after the drain was able to wash away all the water, the watermark was 4 inches high. So to me, that tells me that it was just such a large volume of water that fell into that area within a small amount of time, that it never allowed enough time for the drains to go ahead and make sure that all the water went out.
How do we prevent this in the future if we're going to...
After we make these repairs, concurrently with this project, as this project starts,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get with a civil engineer and get their recommendations to make sure, because now we know that something like this happened, so that the next time that there's that volume of water, we can calculate how much water we got by just showing him the footprint of the plaza that we have outside those gyms,
mm-hmm.
and the watermark at 4 inches. We can calculate how much water was dropped, and with that, we can go ahead and redesign and enlarge that trench drain that's existing.
Okay. No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mazina. Any other questions from
I have one in regards to, I guess, our response to the situation. From the time it actually flooded to when we responded till we actually could, I'm guessing, could we have prevented it by actually getting, you know, the professionals that handle flooding to actually dry that type of...
Of course, we could have. In my profession, the hindsight is a very difficult thing to answer, because of course, yes, we could have shown and do tests and run a water test to see how much it drains per hour or how many gallons per minute. But of course, you know, here we are thinking, hey, we have a new project that's barely a year old or a little bit more than that.
I'm talking about, let's say, I mean, there's professional. You know, if you
to
if
dry
there's
them
flood,
up,
yeah,
you're saying, but
to,
he, but
it happened so quickly.
But
yeah.
Yeah, and then the thing is that he's saying that the water went underneath,
no,
so that would have been hard to
and of
get
course,
access
the reason
to
why
water.
It went under the course is because it started to accumulate up to 4 inches. So, to answer your question, Mr. Rodriguez, I was relying, and of course, this is something that we do. We rely on whoever signed and sealed the permit. I'm sure it was engineered. The calculations are there, even on the drawings.
Bruno, just real quick, the question is, once it got wet, like this carpet gets wet,
mm-hmm.
could we have hired someone to come in
and
dry it up with
oh,
fans?
I see.
And like
no. Once water gets in between those layers, no, that floor is ruined.
Because we also had this happen at Aldereta Middle School, and we had to replace that.
Correct. Yes.
That was a contractor. I don't believe that was act of God.
No, it wasn't
right.
Act of
yeah.
God, but the water, once it's the type of flooring, it's...
Yeah, it just soaks
right
up. Of course, having wood, it's always susceptible to the risk of flooding, which is why, like I said before, concurrently with the development of this project, you know, we're going to look and we'll present to the board a recommendation to make sure that this doesn't happen.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Go ahead, Mr. Bunce.
When did this happen, Mr. Lopez?
Like I said, it happened the Sunday before school started. I believe it was August the 21st.
August of what?
August 21st.
No, it didn't happen because I went to a volleyball game that Tuesday. And that's when...
The flood happened then.
But the damage didn't start until volleyball season started maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yes, the severity of the damages when it made it unusable, yes, it didn't start right there. It has been, you know, increasing. From the beginning, I knew we had to replace those floors, and we've been working towards getting that. So here we are with presenting this item to you all tonight and ready to start swinging hammers on Thursday morning.
Any other questions?
What's the timeline on it?
6 weeks from the notice of proceed.
Each gym.
Each gym.
You're not going to do it concurrently?
we don't have that, the contractor doesn't have that ability because of their workforce, and also because I haven't had the meeting with them to go over the logistics of how they're gonna close out certain portions of the gym and the parking lot so that they can stage and have all the materials and all of that. So I don't think it's gonna help out.
Madam Chair,
go ahead, Ms. Campbell.
Again, it comes down to water, mm-hmm. And I know that the high school has flooded before in other occasions. We really need to do something before we.
Yes.
And they should have really taken a really good look at this when they made that area, designed it.
I know
it has nothing to do with you. I know you're just picking up the slack from before, but now it's important that we go the right direction.
Of course, that study that I'm going to request from the from a civil engineer, it's going to look at the entire site.
Because it's going to keep happening.
It's
going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll keep having to pay and redo this over and over again. So
I agree.
Is there a possibility of installing pumps instead of it just being gravity?
Yes, that's a possibility.
Okay.
That's a possibility. However, I may want to say that we're trying to get rid of lift stations and pumps every so often. They break down, and so mm-hmm. if we don't have to rely on a mechanical system, all the better. If we can use a passive system, that'd be more comfortable.
I have a final question. $700,000, and it's going to come out of the general fund? Are we going to dip into the general fund, Ms. Piekarski?
It's coming out of my funds.
Your fund?
General fund.
Is it general fund or
no,
this
it's,
fund?
It's your fund.
It's my
or
fund.
General
my
fund.
Fund.
The same thing.
It's out of his budget.
Facilities.
There you go.
Same,
yes.
Same thing.
It would be facilities.
Any other questions, Board?
Is it the same? General fund is different.
No?
So move.
You do? Yes.
So move.
I'll second.
Okay.
It was a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item C, discussion and recommendation regarding out-of-state non-employee and employee inter-district transfers.
Are there any questions? We did go over this item for the agenda review. Do we have any questions for this one?
I did have a one in regards to making sure we get the policy straight now, and then just a recap of what we currently have and what we said we were going to have in regards to the numbers.
For the New Mexico residents?
Mm-hmm.
What we have, that chart was provided for you. You wanted some historical data. For this school year, we have six students who are New Mexico students and not employees. We have 23 students that are New Mexico student employees, for a total of 29.
I mean,
it's $281,000,
right? Yes.
Okay, that's all I have.
Are we referring to policy? What is in policy? Upon admittance of students transfers.
Are we currently?
We can charge for tuition. We have not charged for tuition. That is a choice that has not taken place. So the board did ask to review that policy next month.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Ms. Quintana.
Okay, Ms. Gonzalez, you said the totals, but does this total include if they're special needs children, if they're special ed children, if there are kids that have...
if they're federally funded, federal funds.
Because that's more cost.
It's not included.
That's more cost per student.
This is the ADA, it is not the...
Not the... So it's not an accurate.
Well, this is a tuition that we would charge for any student.
Irregardless.
Yes.
My concern is that with this amount of money, we could probably get stuff for our children that are already here.
And so I think that was a consideration, Ms. McDonough, to either do a prorated or some type of tuition. I think that's what will be on the table as we review policy.
Because I know we get funded for the ones that are within Texas, but people choose to live in another state, people choose to live in New Mexico because they have lower taxes. We choose to live in Texas and we pay more taxes so that our children can come to school here. And that to me, especially that we have six that are not children of employees or, that's quite a bit of money at the end of the day.
It is.
Especially that we don't have that
money
right now.
What's
It's okay, Mr. Rodriguez, go ahead.
What's the year, you were saying that over the past years we had more, or we weren't submitting?
What I referred to at the agenda review was that last year we had four students.
And now this year we have six, right?
And this year we have six. That's correct.
So we
one
added
of those four is part of that six.
So we added two students without. And how did that come about?
Well, we don't know if the students are new or were they the same continuing students.
Oh, in other words, they weren't recorded?
Some of those were not recorded last year.
So they were students, but they weren't recorded.
Correct. After interviewing them, they said that they had submitted an application, but we didn't have it.
It's $730,000 this year and past 2 years.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I think we also need to make a recommendation to administration if they're going to be using that grant clause. They're going to be grandfathered because the policy goes back to 2013.
Yes.
And it's not being enforced.
I would like to make a motion that from here on out, anybody that is either a New Mexico student non-employee or a New Mexico student employee, from here on out, we don't take any.
Non-employee students.
Mm-hmm.
Have
we done that? Or is that a...
No.
That is happening. As we discussed at agenda review, there were no elementary students that were...
But let's say if a student were to come in the next 2 weeks and they were of an employee, then they have the ability under the current policy. So what I'm saying is from here on out, as of right now, that we did not until we addressed our policy. That's my motion.
So,
for non-employees.
Steve, can you help me out? So, we're talking discussion recommendation regarding out-of-state non-employee and employee inter-district transfers. What we do from now on is, can we do that? It's not on the agenda.
You have to have a policy item on the agenda.
Yeah, we don't.
Well, isn't, I mean, you can't make a motion. We're not addressing the policy, what we're saying. Or give a directive?
Like a freeze.
It is a regulation. It is a regulation, and it's grandfather clause. And it's on page 691. And it reads, children of employees who resided outside of the state of Texas and were enrolled in the district prior to June 4, 2008 may continue to attend district schools on a tuition-free basis, provided that they meet the conditions
Numbers 3 and 5 above. And for employees who subsequently move outside of the state of Texas, the superintendent may consider possible tuition free transfer of students, including Gallatin ISD, in the event the employee has been employed with a school district for 5 or more years.
The documentation is submitted to the agenda, Steve. I would.
Well, it's not a policy, it's a regulation. You're talking about the grandfather provision.
And they still want to put it in policy.
I just want to go to the item. The item talks about, do you want kids that are out of state and they're not employees or employees? It's yes or no.
Right.
Not
for,
so they
right.
Can talk about changes you might want
yeah, no,
in
I know.
The future, but that will have to come back
we,
to the board.
We
so
would have to put it on. We would have, right, and the item is, do you still want these children attending school here? And
that's
we'd have to make
what,
a different,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
What I, and I don't want to address the current students. What I'm saying is if there's any future, we should,
it's fine.
That's fine,
back.
Right?
It's fine.
But
it's not a policy.
But we can't.
That's not on the agenda for tonight for you to address. The agenda is to address these students that are being presented to you.
What
the agenda? The agenda that the policy is not being followed, so that's what we're trying to address.
Sure, you can have a discussion about that and bring it up.
That's what we're
yeah.
trying to do.
I guess get us some more information in regards to those 4 to 6 students and why one they were not counted for, and then
The thing is that we need
no,
to.
No, we could get that information. That's
right,
what
we can
we're
get
talking
the,
about.
Right, but the thing is that we need to decide whether we want these students here or we're going to continue to allow these children to attend school here. That's what we need to decide.
And you'll remember, Mr. Rodriguez, at agenda review, 2 of those students had recently moved into New Mexico. They had been in Texas residence, so that accounts for 2 of those 6. We discussed these 6 at
yeah.
agenda
yeah.
review.
So, if I may clarify it to the board, and please, Steve, if I'm not saying it properly, yeah, we just.
What does the administration want from the board in terms of direction? What are you asking them to do? Decide.
To approve these 29 students.
To allow them to continue. And if they say no, what happens to the 29 students?
You tell them tomorrow they
have to.
They have to go back to Mexico.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward.
Employee and non-employee, right? Both.
Correct.
I mean, well, depending what the motion is, it could say employee or non-employee. And you're not going to allow, since it's an administrative regulation, you're not going to allow it in anymore. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Effective. Immediately.
Well, it's still
is that
regulation.
Correct, Dr. Adams?
It's still a regulation, the administration.
But
so we'll
but it's not being followed.
And talk about, well, it is the grandfather since 2008. So
several of them from 2015.
Some of them have come back and some of them are new.
And it does say that the superintendent may consider a possible tuition-free transfer. So if you're asking us to review this, yes, we certainly can.
So this is, the regulation says, and not the policy.
It's FDA regulation, yes. Sir.
Yeah. Well, the regulation is what you all make. So I would give a directive that you all, I would slash that out. If it's not Texas, you know, if we're not getting funding for it, we shouldn't be flipping the bill. I mean, that's what I would recommend to administration.
Yes, sir. Employee and non-employee.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
New Mexico residents, correct?
And the ones that are already grandfathered in, they're already grandfathered in. That's not a problem.
So if they've been attending since 2008,
mm-hmm.
they're...
And we're still... They're
in, because that's what was agreed at that time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
When would, can you also give us a like succession of when they would be out and what that would cost.
I believe she told us out of the six, there are some that are seniors. Are
yeah, no. So in other words, in the fiscal year of 2016-2017, this is the amount it's going to cost us. The year 2017-2018, this is a number, this is the amount it's going to cost us from here on out till we
But we don't know if they'll stay here.
Yeah.
I think really the emphasis is more on the employees who are bringing their students, because we have employees that students that are in kindergarten who live in New Mexico and all that are in first grade. So those 29, where's the majority?
That's correct.
Where that, again, as a board, you have to decide. I know from the agenda review, there was a comment, and she's not here, Trustee Searles, that that's part of a perk. And so that's, as again, the board's going to have to decide. It's not necessarily the non-employees. It's the 29 employees.
Well, I'm saying what the cost is, because maybe what we can do, if we have 10 first graders, then that's going to be more cost in the long run. And what I would recommend is maybe over a three-year period, you have to move back into, into the state of Texas if you want to continue to. I mean, because let's be honest, if people go to New Mexico to have cheaper taxes, but yet they want to, yeah.
For the education.
And so I think, I mean, that's not right for the other taxpayers that pay taxes.
So would
and
you
have their kids here.
Would you like to separate the employee and non-employee? Can
that
we
would
do
be
that,
under
Steve?
Under the policy.
Yes, right? We can vote on employee and not employee?
I think it's too early. I don't want to address the issue. I think it's already too late. I mean, these kids are already in classroom, and what we need to look at is a policy and make sure we address it there and see how we could start making sure over a certain amount of time, whether it's 3 years, whatever it may be, that we minimize that.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So no motions, and do you want?
Well, do you need their approval right now to allow the 29 mm-hmm. students to continue, or are you approving them under the regulation?
Well, this is part of the board activity calendar with all district transfers, so we do need some sort of board action.
Okay, but you're asking for the board to act on it. Because of that, then the board needs to act on it. They're in school.
So again, we could vote for employee and non-employee.
Could just vote for both. I mean, it.
I move to just continue as is,
yeah.
And then address it at
yes.
the end of next year, and hopefully the
so
policy
that it's part of our summer
yeah.
is enforced. And I think that's what we're voicing our concern is. They keep coming back, and it's not just 2006. We see 2013, 2014, 2015. And at least have a report as to who's an employee and who's not, because quite honestly, I've been here since first grade. Sometimes that just doesn't work if the parent is not an employee or grandparent. I think there's even a grandparent. I do believe it's perk, but we also need to look at our taxpayers and say we feel your pain. We're in a deficit, and what was that amount you just said?
281,043.
That's just ADA.
Yes, sir. That's straight ADA.
That's a lot of money. So
year.
I would just move to continue as is, address the policy and regulation, and make sure that administration is enforcing it as needed. And if we need to show some of our students, hey, you have to either pay up or need to move out, we start addressing that in January and not scare them at the end of May.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I believe we've done that in the past where we wait too long.
Or tuition.
And we're in the same place.
I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we definitely need to let our parents know that the board is going to be addressing this for the upcoming school year, and so that way our parents are aware. At least maybe send them a letter out and saying employee and non-employee, or just non-employee.
Just
non-employee.
Well, I think they should both be notified. Because sometimes they leave, the employees leave, and they still
So a letter stating that the board is looking closely at this and there may be a tuition.
Or no tuition.
A change in policy. Yeah.
I don't.
A change in policy.
I don't mind tuition.
Change in policy.
But that tuition becomes so subjective because you're looking at someone's need and his need versus her need. I mean, who's going
to. But it would be a flat.
I mean,
tuition fee. If you're not,
and then do we do payments if they can't afford it? Do
they
we,
make monthly payments?
They either move in the district or they pay
and
tuition.
And then also, what happens is, what if they don't make their payments? Then do we make
payments?
Yeah.
You know, and things like that.
And not only that, it affects the other agenda that's on tonight is the class size waivers. Are any of the students affecting that class size waiver requested?
Well, let's.
I mean, this is just the question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to move forward, and I don't expect you to answer. This is something that, as a board, needs
food
to be considered.
Yes.
And some administration needs to look at, too, because it's funding, and how does it affect the district as a whole? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. So we have a motion. Do we have a second to let pretty much proceed as we are right now?
I'll second. Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item D, discussion and recommendation regarding class size waivers for the 2016-2017 school year. Dr. Vicky?
Do we have any questions on the data that was given to us?
I have a clarification question. I know that some of the teachers in this process shortage and class size waivers request tonight, did it have anything to do with teachers' attrition being moved from one campus to the other? And that's, I know that we have waivers every year, but I noticed that there's 12 this year, and I think it's a lot.
It is 12 this year. It was 9 last year.
Yeah. It's a tough one. My daughter's in one of these classes.
Questions? Do we have a motion and a second for this item?
So moved.
I'll second.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item E, for the record, this is a change order.
Discussion and recommendation to approve additional site licenses for Plano coursework to support secondary student credit recovery and credit advancement program through a sole source vendor, Edmentum. Total amount is $11,616. Ms. Rocha, Mrs. Kathy.
Are there any questions on this item, Board? I know that this is new to us, but it's so that students, they can get their credits.
No questions.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms. Quinton.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening. I see that Plato is a sole source. How about A plus? I'm not familiar with the A plus vendor. I know there have been questions before from this board to look at other programs. When we went through program review at the end of the school year, we talked to the principals. Both of the principals at Northwest and at Kennedy High School both wanted to stay with Plato Academy. They were just concerned about if we could get additional courses. So when we brought it to you, it was for the $48,000, which was for the core content of the library. So I know that's one of the things to look at, and we'll of course talk to the principals to see if they want to investigate other companies.
The only risk here that you have, if I may add, is that this company is so embedded with the district, with record keeping, to transition now would be, you know, something risky, but it's something that you could look at, and maybe perhaps look at it maybe in a 2-year, 3-year transition thing, because there's
well,
so
they had A plus back not too long ago, as a matter of fact. They did have A plus.
I'm not familiar with A plus for since I've been here, but
and
I
then
do
they
know.
Did the transition,
right?
So they had both at one time,
and last
and then they went fully potato. But you know, I'd like to see what the comparisons are.
Sure.
And why the change at that time.
Yeah, it requires us being here, but we're able to look at it. I know the board has asked about Plato and whether we wanted to continue it. And again, when we went through criminal evaluation, both principals at the time wanted to stay with it. And what we're asking for today is to bring a recommendation to purchase 3 additional libraries. Remember, we also have added the Opportunity Academy. And so what we're able to purchase now, in addition to the core courses, it would be some CTE electives for those students that are coming back that need CTE electives. We're also purchasing regular electives that students can take, in addition to building for college level, in the sense that now we have a program that will be added for TSI tutoring, which we're moving to TSI in the eighth grade.
Madam Chair, if I might.
Go ahead. Are you done, Ms. Quinton?
Yes.
I guess the concern I have, and Veronica, if you might just elaborate on this, on the source vendor, my question is, I don't have a problem administration saying, you know, they evaluated the other and they prefer Plato, but I think that has to go, you know, through a process as well, so that way it's not just saying it's a sole source, because it's a sole source to purchase this product through that person, right? That's what it is.
Right.
But it's not a sole source, as this is the only vendor that could provide this type of product.
It is a sole source in the sense that they have the copyright for their program, and anybody, it's almost like Apple. You know, Apple, it's sole source. Nobody can mirror Apple. This is what these companies do. Yes, there are companies out there that are similar. But once we do the evaluation and purchasing, we go through a rigorous process in ensuring that they are sole source. Not only through an affidavit, but in addition, we ask additional information. We do a comparison to other items that are out there, and of course, we bring it back to the department to ensure that this is exactly what they need. It does meet their needs, you know. So there's an additional, you know, a research that's done on the back end before we just call it a sole source and take their word for it. There's additional research that's done. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, just to remind the board again, BQ Local, in which we evaluate all these programs, especially Plato, and this is a program that not only principals but teachers still wanted to attain or keep for our students. And again, this is just an amendment so we can add classes starting tomorrow. If again, it's up to you as a board Again, this also allows the Northwest Early College to offer other elective classes, and we don't have to pay for a teacher. So,
so move.
Second.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. The time is now 7:24. Item 7, executive session. The meeting is to be closed under the Texas Government Code Sections 551.071, 551.072, and 551.074. A discussion with the superintendent regarding possible amendments to the superintendent's contract with employment of Canaltio ISD. Discussion regarding administration, excuse me, item B. Discussion regarding administration's recommendation for finance director position.
I want something in writing because.